Right up front, I want to get this little piece of news out of the way. I had shared with you and a lot of other people the following piece of information. The Oak Ridge Boys last show, according to what I had been told, was scheduled to be on December the 8th. I thought at that point I had had a conversation with Dwayne Allen himself, but I did not. There was someone that was masquerading as him on a quote-unquote business account. When I talked with Dwayne himself, and I could tell this was Dwayne himself for two reasons. Number one, he remembered my name from when we met in 2005. And number two, he said basically when we were discussing this, the very same thing that he had said when news broke about this being their farewell tour. They don't know when it's going to end. God only knows that. And I am testifying to you right now, witnessing, I think maybe as good a word too, that nobody knows. They have done everything the Oak Ridge Boys have, that is, to be as faithful a witness to Christ as they know how. One of many things I have liked for over 40 years about those guys. Dwayne Allen, the real one, set me straight. So they're still going to be touring for a while. Nobody knows exactly when the last day is going to be. I'm going to have a hard time getting to other shows anyway. But when the day does pop up that we reach their last concert, yes, you will have extra coverage here on the podcast. With that out of the way, I'm using this song as an intro for two things. One, to tell you how I feel coming off my birthday. Last Sunday was my birthday. And also to set up the topic for this time around, which is Mother's Day. To get us in the mood for both, I call in Martina McBride. The song is called Blessed.
More than I deserve to be here.
In 2001, I used this song to what I hope would be a way to bring us to center us ourselves a little bit more. And I used this one this time around to center me. And I'm glad that that has happened. Martina, thank you again for the reminder. The song is called Blessed. And ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the show. Right off the top, I want to take a moment right here to wish every mother that listens to this broadcast a happy Mother's Day. To the grandmothers that listen, the same way, of course, happy Grandmother's Day. May this Sunday be a special one. Before I end this podcast, I want to share a prayer, especially for the mothers and grandmothers, but that's at the end. To start things, I've got these two things planned out. For the first segment, I have planned to share with you some updates on my road to ministry. And a lot of things are really starting to get exciting for a lot of reasons. And I am anxious to share every bit of them with you. Some even surprise me. And for the second segment, I have a sermon that had kind of a Mother's Day approach, you might say. The sermon was written for my book, and it's called An Alternative from Mom's Kitchen. So I'm going to share that with you as kind of my Mother's Day weekend contribution. And then, of course, a song especially for this occasion to get us out of here. A busy New Directions podcast, the Mother's Day edition. Happy Mother's Day to all of you that listen to this. And I got a full show to share with you. We're going to get started with it on the other side of this break. They are a local shelter, with shelters in Kansas and Missouri. These folks care for their animals. Our cat Misty came from one of their shelters, and I want to tell you about them. This is Terry Runyon from the podcast here to tell you about the KC Pet Project. These folks are very active in their communities. They host a lot of different charity events. They work very, very hard to get animals adopted each and every year. I invite you to consider adopting an animal, be it a cat, a dog, whatever the case may be. They'll be a forever friend in your home. And when you do decide to get one, I encourage you to go to KC Pet Project. These folks will make you very glad that you did. Let's start off with this update. I had mentioned to you back in February about a first-time visit to Camden, Missouri. That Sunday morning went very well. I thought I was going to have another one on St. Patrick's Day, but that did not pan out. And it was just a breakdown in communication because of the fact that they had a new pastor. And I didn't hear about it until the next day, the day after the trip to the church service that wasn't. And I figured at that time that that was going to be the last of it. I wouldn't be doing anything more with this bunch because they had an interim minister that is going to be there until sometime late next month, I think. Perhaps he may become the new pastor. But that is not where the story ends, ladies and gentlemen. I had received a call about 2 weeks ago from one of the members of that church. Reminder, the city of Camden, Missouri, population 175. And in a service, they do good to get about six. But I had received a call from one of the members of that church. They wanted to have my phone number because they wanted a list of people that would be available to fill in for the minister. Apparently what had happened was I might have impressed a lot of folks. Those of you that have known me for any length of time at all, I'll remind you one time now, though. I'm not one for ego. Never have been, never will be. But the fact that they were nice enough to invite me speaks volumes. The story continues. The interim minister sent me a Facebook message no more than a few days later, and inviting me to do the same thing come June the 9th. That is a good idea, except for one thing. He's going to a Methodist convention in St. Charles, Missouri, the same one that I attended with Tim Moline last year. And incidentally, I'm going to be there this year, too. When I call him back, I'm going to say two things. Number one, I'm afraid not for June 9th, because I'm going to be in the same spot. But I'll leave the options open to maybe possibly do it again at a later date. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to make that happen or not, but at least putting a few feelers out there will solidify the fact that they know I'm around, in a matter of speaking, of course. So, right now, that's sounding pretty good. So on that note, we'll see what happens. Which brings me a little closer to home. Proud I am to say, let me just set the story up this way. When I started this journey, officially in 2021, the mentor I had was Tim. He has since unfortunately left our church and is in a new career. I do wish him the best. But we had, as his replacements, and yes, that's plural, our pastor Jen Shelton and our then assistant Matt Martz, who, by the way, was in class with me on two or three, I believe, occasions in the Zoom classes I've taken so far. He is now focusing mainly on Gashland. It's a two-point charge, my friends. They're covering two churches, is what it is. Gashland and ours. Here's where things are starting to get very exciting. Jen Shelton asked me, this was a few months back, about a month or two back, if I would be interested in working with her on Sunday mornings. And the way I'm understanding this position, I'm not a paid assistant, and in this case, fine. The way I'm understanding this position now is that I'm an assistant in training. I'm learning the ins and outs of doing this. And proud I am to say, my friends, I have an honest-to-goodness mentor. Not one I would think of as such, but a person who said she would be and has been asked to do so by the folks in Independence. And it's Jen. It is an honor to be working with her now. She asked me, first of all, if I'd be interested, and if you know me about getting up in front of people, the answer is a very definite yes. And I had my first official Sunday morning in that capacity on my birthday, which made it even more special. It is an honor to have this opportunity to do this, and I am very grateful for the fact that I have a person I don't have to call mentor because she already is. It is an honor to be working with Jen Shelton on Sunday mornings now. There will be preaching opportunities as well, which leads to what I'm going to be sharing with you for the second segment. But I want to finish the first by bringing in one of my favorite Mother's Day style songs that was sung by a couple of the fathers. Glenn Campbell, I know, is. Steve Wariner, I think, is. So, I'm going to call the two of them in for this particular song. The song is called, we'll let Ralph introduce it. As soon as we can get him on.
You know the little yodel part like Frank
Iyer? Oh, yeah, oh boy.
I remember you.
Not quite yet, a song to start with.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
Yeah, he is a show off. What's your new single going to be?
Still Within the Sound of My Voice. It's the title.
Glenn is talking about
The
album where this particular song comes from.
Little Stevie out here together because they're going to recreate for you a record I'm sure you've heard on the radio many, many times, a top 10 record for Glenn called The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, a tribute to all you mothers out there.
Yes.
All right?
Got here red and frankful, scared and crying. And she took him up and held him to her breast. And he sure was glad to get what Mama offered. Then he went to sleep and put his fear.
That was one of my favorite songs off of Glenn's album that he recorded at that time frame, called Still Within the Sound of My Voice. And what Glenn and Steve were singing was very true. The hand that rocks the cradle very definitely rules the world. On the other side of this break, I want to share with you kind of my Mother's Day contribution. A sermon I wrote especially for my new book, Life Lessons Learned. And it has kind of a Mother's Day twist to it as well. So, on the other side of this break, the sermon is called An Alternative from Mom's Kitchen. I'll be back to share it in a moment.
Hi, folks. I'm William Lee Golden. If you ever wondered what was behind the beard, now you can find out, as I tell all in my new autobiography. I grew up in the cotton fields of South Alabama, but I dreamed of being at the top of the gospel music charts, and those dreams came true. Then I dreamed that the Oak Ridge Boys could make it in country music, and we did. My 50 years with the Oaks have been quite a ride, and it's all in my book. You can get your deluxe hardcover copy on Amazon or at WilliamLeeGoldenBook.com. And at WilliamLeeGoldenBook.com, you can also get an autographed copy. I'd love to sign one just for you. And I hope you enjoy reading about my life as much as I've enjoyed living it.
This song was a part of the Oak Ridge Boys library before we even thought of Y'all Come Back Saloon. Here are the guys. I have harmonized more often than not with my mother, and it's been an honor to do that. She and Dad, really, too, definitely, too, have been and continue to be inspirations. This being Mother's Day, I thought that it would be appropriate, and especially so for this book, to put together a sermon that had kind of a Mother's Day approach to it, you might say. And I came up with this one. To get into it, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'll be reading verses 25 through 34. A classic verse pops up during this as well. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Now that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here's your classic verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. My friends, there's a lot of truth there. As we get into the sermon, would you join me in prayer? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. In an early season episode of MASH, nearly all of the doctors and nurses were victimized by a flu. Even Hawkeye Pierce, after having a flu shot of his own, contracted it at one point. As he was getting ready to operate, we hear the key phrase from Major Houlihan. I'm worried about you, doctor. It is true that we do care for our family and friends, and there isn't a thing wrong with that. But my mother has a sign in her kitchen that presents us with another alternative. In addition to this, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, presents some simplicity backing up his commands to all of us of do not worry. Let me begin this way. In case some of you may be thinking I'm outlawing worrying forever, you couldn't be more wrong. I would be naive to try. I have, however, come up with a few reasons why we do worry as much as we do. The first one is overall caring. We don't want anything bad to happen to the ones we love. We want the best. When they leave the house, we want the best for them. When they go to work and come back home, they want them to have a safe day at work. It's just basically overall caring. From the work environment, we come to this one, job advancement. We want to move up in the company we work for and be as effective a worker as possible. We want our bosses to see this for us. See this in us, excuse me. We go and do what we can to get our work done. We want to be able to work as hard as we can and be as caring as we can. This doesn't necessarily mean being a cheerleader for the place you work, but rather give it your best 110 to 120%, whatever it is, and have your bosses take a look. I'm a believer in actions speak louder than words, so make your actions speak for yourself. Third, empty nest. The kids have moved out and we're on our own. What next? Some people have a plan, some do not. They want to be able to do a lot of things in their later years. The parents do, that is. the ones that are empty nesters. Some do have a plan, some do not. But they do what they can to keep busy. Nothing wrong with that at all. Another one, advanced life. And I've seen this happen quite often. How will we as children take care of our aging parents? We don't take the time to think about that. But sometimes that question does pop up. Sometimes we realize that there are some things that we absolutely need to do, but they're not always clear. The cases, of course, vary. Another one, not enough food. Speaks for itself. A lot of people do a lot of grocery shopping to make absolutely sure there is enough food. The size of houses, of course, vary. And here's a big one, my friends. No faith in God. God does not want us to worry. But because of the fact that we care as much as we do for the family that we do, I'm not standing before you to say where I'm outlawing this. There's no way I can do it. None. And God won't either. But he wants us to realize there's a lot of simplicity in life that we need to take the time to realize that there's plenty of it. Which brings us to Matthew chapter 6. To look at these words for the first time, some may believe that we're being punished for worrying too much. In reality, we're not. But Jesus is giving us some food for thought. In verse 25, he says not to worry about our lives, what we eat or drink, or what we wear. Isn't life more than food or clothes? Can anyone by worrying add a single hour to our lives? We worry too much. But in our minds, we do care. Sometimes we realize we're doing it, sometimes we don't. But we have caring hearts, and there was not a thing wrong with that. None. In verse 28, we're asked why we also worry about clothes as much as we do. That's an interesting one. But I'm not going to go any further than that. It draws this example from the flowers in the field that grow without effort. Overall, Jesus wants us to have our priorities straight. In verse 33, he wants us to seek first God's kingdom, and all these things shall be ours as well. Jesus knew that we cared, but we needed to have more faith in him. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I submit to you that he shared these words from the Sermon on the Mount to help us, to encourage us to have more faith in him. We don't always. He wants us to have more. John 3:16 is a verse that I memorized quite a bit as a kid. And it plays into this one too. John 3:16 confirms that God does love the world. And we love our families very much. Jesus, or rather God, wants us to have more faith in him. I made reference to an alternative to worry at the beginning of this message. There was a sign in my mother's kitchen that presents that alternative. The sign just simply says this: why worry when you can pray? I submit to you that we do this a lot. Worry and pray. And sometimes we don't always realize how powerful it is. Faith along with prayer can be a pretty good 1-2 punch if we let them work in our lives. We do worry about others. That's natural, and God very definitely does understand. But there are major alternatives to this too. Some things, I'm not saying do this instead, because as I said, I'm naive to try to have people give up on worrying. That's not going to happen, and I know that. But there are two other ways to approach this, and I encourage each and every one of us to take these two into consideration. One of them faith, the other prayer. There, Matthew provided one alternative, which is faith. The other one was found in my mother's kitchen and is just as important. Prayer. My friends, it is my prayer that may both be important in our lives from this day forward and always. Will you join me in prayer? Eternal God, we thank you for your message through these words. We thank you also for helping us to realize that we do need faith. This world needs faith now more than ever. And help us to apply this Bible verse to our lives as well. Pray without ceasing. May we use faith and prayer as the 1-2 punch. And may we all realize we could be much, much stronger when we do. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Lord. What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I have known? And tell me, what did I ever do that was worth love from you for the kindness you've shown?
Be right back. After 4 years, I have a new book, and I want to tell you about it. My name is Terry Runyon. I'm from the New Directions podcast, and I want to tell you about Life Lessons Learned. It is my biggest book page-wise that I have ever put together, 98 pages, and these pages contain 20 sermons, some that I have preached in Shawnee, some I preached in Gladstone, some are going to be yet to come, but they're a list of very inspirational pieces that I hope will be inspiration to you. It took a long time to put this together and a lot of persuasion, but it was a very, I would say, worthwhile project. So when you have a moment, I invite you to pick this up. It's available on Amazon.com. The book is called Life Lessons Learned, and maybe there'll be some things that could teach us a lot of things, most especially friendship, a lot of love, and maybe a chance to bring the world back to the way God wants it. The book is called Life Lessons Learned. It's available at the bookstore right now at Amazon.com. Every now and then, a story of a celebrity that is no longer with us tends to get overlooked. And I think I did in this particular case. Next time on the podcast, I'm afraid we have lost someone else. Duane Eddy passed away on the 30th of April at age 86. There's a lot of good classic guitar that he brought us in his life. And we're going to devote the next podcast to quite a few songs that he has made famous. Some I personally knew about, but not all. There'll be some Rebel Rouser, there'll be some 40 Miles of Bad Road, but there'll be some others to lead into it as well. The King of Twang, Duane Eddy, passed on at age 86. Next time on the podcast, we will remember him. As promised, would you join me in prayer? Eternal God, we thank you for the people that you put on this earth to be our mothers and grandmothers, our mother figures, whatever the case may be. Thank you for the difference. I'll say it on a personal note first. Thank you for the difference mine has played in my life. And I know Gayla could say the same thing for hers. And thank you for the difference that all of them have made in all of our lives. Look down upon us as we be the as we're trying to be the kind of people that you would have us be, thanks to our mom's influence. Thank you for all the work that they had done to raise us. Thank you for the chances that they have given us as well. Help the mothers and grandmothers of this earth to realize how special they very definitely are to each and every one of us. And help those of us that are sons and daughters to never, ever forget it. May the mothers and grandmothers of this earth, and the mother figures as well, have a good Woman's and Mother's Day this coming Sunday morning. We lift them up to you. As for a benediction from the service, we'll go this way. Bear witness to the love of God in this world that the mothers brought to us especially, so that those for whom love is a stranger will find for us generous friends. Find us generous friends. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love and influence of our mothers and grandmothers be with us all and remain with us all, both now and always. Amen. That's going to wind things up for this edition of the podcast. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next time as we remember Duane Eddy. A perfect song to close with. Here are the Judds. Something that we all need.
Цэцэг их чиг унасан.
If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It's past time. Love never fails. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices at the truth. Ugh. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
G. Cooper. No one got G.